Jesus says, I have the solution to your problems. Will you come to me? Come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, Elder Dr. Raphael Thomas took us to the account in Scripture where Jesus met a woman suffering from an affliction for 18 years and with a word, healed her from her affliction. From the account, Dr. Thomas showed from the text how Jesus can do what no one else can do, for no spirit, no infirmity can oppose him, for he has defeated the oppressor and his authority is unlimited. Listen with us now as Dr. Thomas brings the conclusion of his message, Let Jesus Fix It For You.
We have seen the seriousness of the woman's affliction. We have seen the source of the woman's affliction. But the greatest news I have for us today is the solution to the woman's affliction. Because you see, many people have a problem to every solution, but Jesus has a solution to every problem. I remember on one occasion when my car tire was punctured, I took it to the tire shop. They examined it and they did what was necessary to fix it. And in Jamaica, when they fixed the tire, they really fixed it well, because they pull it off and they bake the rubber into that puncture. But after the job was done, he pumped it again and tried to see if it was well fixed. And to his surprise, he fixed the place that was not punctured. So he had to do the job all over again. But I want to tell us about someone. After he did his job once, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens. It needs no repetition. It needs no substitute. It needs no supplement. Because on the cross, he said, it is finished. The work is done. He paid the full price of sin. We thank God this morning that Jesus completed the task that the Father gave him to do. He has the solution to your problem. This morning, the solution to the problems that we are going through in these times of testing is a person. His name is Jesus. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus saw her. Verse 12. You know, there is something about Jesus. He sees us. He knows us. Right now, God has a laser beam focus on your life. He knows exactly what you are going through. He knows your heartache. He knows your pain. He knows your history. He knows your struggles. He knows your strengths and he knows your weaknesses. Jesus saw the woman. But Jesus is not like some people who, when they see you, they don't see you. Jesus said to the children of Israel, I have seen your afflictions. I have heard your cry. And I am come down to deliver. I am come down to deliver. When God sees and when God hears, he comes down to deliver. Jesus saw her. And there is something comforting to know that Jesus knows. Job said, when I look to the north, the east, the west, and I cannot find any way out, I just have to remember that he knows the way that I take. And when he is through with me, I shall come forth like pure gold. Jesus called her. When Jesus saw her, Jesus called her. Jesus says, I have something to offer you, but I want you to come unto me to receive it. You know, many persons want the gifts, but they don't necessarily want the giver. Jesus says, I have the solution to your problems. Will you come to me? Come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come and let us reason together. He can change the circumstances of your life. Will you come to Jesus today with your problems? Will you come to him for salvation? Will you come to him for your healing? Will you bring your fears and your doubts and your inhibitions to him and lay them at his feet this morning and turn it over to him and watch him turn your sorrows into joy? Somebody says, when Jesus says, come, the C is for the children. The O is for the older ones. The M is for the middle-aged. And the E is for everyone. Jesus has come to call us to follow him. For he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus saw her. Jesus called her. Jesus spoke to her. Because there is something about the word of the Lord. It is like a hammer that breaks the rock. It is a two-edged sword. The word of the Lord brings deliverance. It dismantles the plan of the enemy. It is quick and powerful, meaning it is alive and active. There is life in the very word of the Lord. And God has chosen to exalt his word above his name. So there is a lot of power in the word. So when Peter tried all night and caught nothing, and Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Peter said, Master, I have tried all night and caught nothing, nevertheless, at your word. Because there is something about that rhema. He used the word in the Greek, rhema. It was different from the word logos. Everything that God speaks, everything that reveals God is the logos. But there are times when the logos becomes the rhema, when the word of God fits your particular circumstance, and this is just the word you need to carry you through. I want to tell somebody this morning, maybe your rhema word is that Jesus is going to fix it this day. Jesus is going to turn the tides. Jesus is going to calm the sea, because he knows just what to do. Jesus spoke to her, but Jesus did more than that. Jesus touched her. Hallelujah. In verse 13, the Bible says, and he laid his hands on her. Somebody says, touching Jesus is all that matters, and your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Jesus. Just believe when you call on his name. This morning you may be here and you need a fresh touch from Jesus. He may have touched you before, but in your moment of desperation, in your moment of great need, you need another touch from God. I remind us that the blind man received the first touch, and when he was asked, what do you see? He said, I see people walking like trees. I believe in effect, Jesus said, I want it to be better than that. What you need is a second touch. Oh, that God would touch us a second time. If we have become weary, if we have given up hope, if we have lost that sense of enthusiasm about the power and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we have lost the fire of evangelism in our breast, may God touch us a second time and set us on fire once again. I said one of my goals this morning was to preach a shorter message. The second goal is that we might encounter the risen Christ afresh. That somebody will be healed this morning. That somebody will be saved this morning. That somebody will be released from the stronghold of satanic bondage this morning. Because there is no case too difficult for Jesus. I have had the privilege to see close up the deliverance of a young girl who was a deaconess in the Satan church. And she was able to do things that seemed so powerful, using the forces of evil. She was able to call my sister-in-law on her telephone, using just her mind, no telephone. She had access to the powers of evil. But then she met Jesus. And Jesus cast out those demons that infested her. Today she is in ministry. Because there is no case too difficult for Jesus. He has already defeated. The Bible says he has spoiled principalities and powers. And he has made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The it there refers to the cross. So Jesus saw her, Jesus called her, Jesus spoke to her, Jesus touched her, and Jesus loosed her. The touch of the Master untangled that rope that held her in bondage. The touch of the Master released the stronghold that the enemy had over her life. She was loosed. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, you are loosed. You have been loosed." I like the construction of that expression. It is referred to as the perfect tense. And it means that when you are loosed, you're still loosed. You are now in a condition of being loosed. It is not that an act was done in a moment and loosed you. But it has the present effect of that act. When Jesus intervenes in our lives, it makes a difference not just for time, but for all eternity. Today there might be somebody who is bound. You've been trying to raise yourself up. You've been trying to change your circumstance. You've been trying to get off that substance. You've been trying to find release. But there is no way out from your perspective. I want to tell you that you need to take another look through the eyes of the Lord, because Jesus is able to fix it for you. When he went to the graveside, he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And life came in that corpse. And he turned to his disciples and he said, "Loose him and let him go." Maybe the Lord has called you to help to loose some who are still wrapped in the grave clothes. And maybe this morning, your thought is that, how am I going to touch the grave clothes? We have to be prepared to touch the grave clothes so that we can release those who are wrapped in that grave clothes. Roll them out in the name of Jesus. Jesus says, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He calls us to partner with him in bringing healing and deliverance and freedom to those in bondage. So we have seen the seriousness of the woman's affliction. We have seen the source of the woman's affliction. We have seen the solution to the woman's affliction. And finally, I call this the sequel to the woman's affliction. Sequel. The dictionary definition of that word sequel is something that takes place after or as a result of an earlier event. Now, when we are going through suffering, it seems like we cannot see beyond the suffering. Sometimes we even lose hope that the page is going to turn, and we can't see beyond that. But God is not punitive. God is not haphazard. God has purpose in what he does. And so when the question was asked, "Tell me, Jesus, who did sin? Was it that this man sinned or his parents?" Jesus said, "Listen, neither this man nor his parents, but that the work of God may be made manifest in him." It may that God is setting you up for a miracle that will give you a platform to testify of the miraculous intervention of Almighty God, that will cause people to remember that there is still a God who works in the affairs of men and women. God may have strategically positioned you and that allowed you to face some testing, that you may experience firsthand that Daniel, God still delivers. And so in verse 13, the Bible tells us, "And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight." Just one touch from the master. Immediately she was made straight. Now when God intervenes and makes the crooked path straight, what do we do? Look at what the woman did. The Bible says, "And glorified God." God has set you up so that you may glorify him. May God give us the grace that however the story ends, it will end in the glory and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must have a mindset like Job. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I depart. The Lord giveth, and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We may not see the other side. We may not know what is in the chapter following. But what we know is that we are committed to glorify him. The psalmist says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." When things are going good, when things are not going so good, I'm going to resign myself to praising him. Because praise has a way of confusing the enemy. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him in the evening. I'm going to praise him in the afternoon. I'm going to praise him when I'm hurting. I'm going to praise him when my marriage is going through the fire. I'm going to praise him when I see my children struggling. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to lift my hands towards heaven and I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow, because Satan is not going to steal my hallelujah. The Bible said she glorified God. And in verse 17, "And when he said these things," that is Jesus, "all his adversaries were put to shame." And listen what the Bible says about the multitude. Because this was set up not only for the woman to experience the glory of God, but that the crowd, the multitude, the wider community will see the glory of God. The Bible says, "All the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." The crowd saw his glory. Hallelujah. Oh, that God would work a work even in my struggles, even in my pain, even in my difficulties, even in this pandemic. Oh, that God would work a work that the crowd will see his glory and rejoice. Now, I want you to note keenly that the Bible says the crowd saw his glory, or the glorious things that were done by him. When all is said and done, we don't want the crowd to see us. That's not the goal. We don't want people to put us in the spotlight, for we want them to see Jesus. Through my pain and through my struggles, through my sufferings and through my hurts, through my healing and my deliverance, whatever comes, I want people to see Jesus. As I close, I want to share a personal testimony. In fact, I'm going to borrow my wife's testimony. Is that okay? If anything, I'll share the royalty. But something happened about 3 years ago. She noticed a lump coming on her body. It got bigger and bigger, and we thought that we should go and check it out. She went to the doctor. The doctor did the examination. The doctor said, Mrs. Thomas, the good news is that it is not malignant, but it can become troublesome. So we will have to do surgery. He examined her, took a picture of it, turned on the light, and explained how big the incision would be and what would be required to remove this lump. So we said, okay, we will set an appointment to do surgery. When we went home, she called up some of her prayer warriors, and while they were praying, somebody said to her, you know, while we were praying, I saw like a hand just reached into that area and pulled out that thing. And she said, okay, we'll see. But she noticed that lump started getting smaller and smaller. So by the time the doctor's office called to set the appointment, she was a bit reluctant to go through with the surgery. She said, I am not sure that I need to do that surgery. She said, okay, do you want a re-examination? She said, yes, I wouldn't mind that. So we went again to the doctor. The same doctor re-examined her using the same instruments and get different results. In fact, when she went, she said, you know, doctor, I'm not sure that I need to do this surgery. The doctor said, what, do you think you have a miracle? She said, I think so. So the doctor examined, and after the examination, the doctor said, the long and short of it is that even if you came here today and begged us to do surgery, there would be nothing for us to remove. He said, all I see is a little dot as big as a pin's head. But I see something else. I see some things that look like suture marks. But you didn't do surgery. She said, Dr. Jesus did the surgery. God is still a miracle-working God. He is still able to do things that baffle the best minds. Because God is still able to fix it for you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God,
I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.